Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kevin Moore filling in for Kevin Shortell, who is en route to Columbus, Ohio for the three-day live Power of Paper training class. I am already in beautiful Columbus, Ohio, so I am now a temporary Buckeye for the next couple of days. I am joined by Melissa Newkirk and Larry Gill. Melissa, Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Kevin.
So what I want to do today is we're going to go ahead, and we don't have any particular case studies that were submitted by any students yesterday, so we're not going to follow any particular case studies. So what I'd like to do is we're going to go ahead and we're going to make the call available for live Q&A. That's always a fun thing, and we really appreciate you guys putting questions up and then chatting through things. So there's no limit on topics as long as it has to do with business-related things, such as non-performing notes, private capital playbook, et cetera, et cetera. I do want to take some time and talk about Notes Direct. We're going to go ahead and walk through Notes Direct. We're going to look at some assets. We had done that on Tuesday as well. And the reason that we are doing it is we want to make sure that you as mentoring members are developing the system that works for you in terms of doing your preliminary due diligence and your then deeper dive, second level due diligence, so that you can be buying assets. And then also a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, and Melissa helped me out with this last time, we are now about a quarter of the way into 2017. And so what we want to do is we want to spend some time talking about where are you in terms of the business plan that you set for yourself on January 1st, where are you? And are there some things that we may be able to help you with on this call today to help you where you may have a roadblock, or you may have something that's on your to-do list and you just can't seem to get to it. Instead of being a to-do, it gets to a round to it. And so we're here to help you with that. And we're just going to go ahead and have some fun with this. So, Melissa, what I'd like to do is let's go ahead and let's just kind of walk through Vision 2017. And what we mean by Vision 2017 is where are you in terms of having your note investment business for 2017? Where are you in terms of having it actually in writing? And then number two, are you knocking out your to-do list? Are there things that you had committed to doing, say, a month ago or 2 months ago or 3 months ago that you haven't gotten to? And let's talk about those. I know everybody on this call has certain personality traits. We all have strong ones. We all have weak ones. I know there's times where I'll put too much on my plate. I'll put my list together, and it's just kind of like a plate of food as I go through the buffets in Las Vegas. You know what? There's no way in heck I'm going to get through it, but man, it all looked good, so I put it all on my list. So always remember, don't intimidate yourself by having a to-do list that you're just not going to go ahead and be able to accomplish. Guys, I'm getting feedback from somebody because I'm on my phone. I don't know if it's – there we go. Thank you. So I want to make sure that, number one, with your to-do list, when you look at your business plan, that you haven't set your list up so that it's just daunting where there's too many things to do it. Remember, small bites are fine. One thing is if you write down one thing and you get it accomplished, pat yourself on the back and go, great, now write down another thing. That's how it works. With your business plan, what we want to do is we want to go ahead and we want to look at what is your vision. Is your vision to buy 3 notes? Is your vision to buy 5 notes? Is your vision to do a note in a hardest hit fund state and then maybe one in a non-hardest hit fund state? Is your vision to work with attracting investors where over the course of 2017, you create capital relationships with two investors or three investors in terms of marketing? Is there a situation where you are going, you know what, I committed to going to some meetups or putting a Facebook page out or whatever. So just anything that would help you make your business more successful. And remember, if you put a list together for your marketing plan and you never check anything off the list, you don't have a marketing plan. You just have a list of things you want to get accomplished for your marketing plan. So with everybody that's on the call today, what I'd like you to do is, as we kind of go through these, write them down or give yourself a grade, you know, hey, I've accomplished that, so I get an A+, or you know what, I'm halfway done with it, so I get a B-. So I want you to kind of grade yourself and go through this. And also, if you want to talk about these things, just go ahead, raise your hand, whatever, and we'll unmute you, or you can just type it in. Doesn't make any difference. But when you write your visions down, set your goals, and then your steps to accomplish the goals, remember, to be successful in the note business, you need to understand how to identify inventory. You need to know how to filter that inventory so that it meets the specifics of your business plan, and if you're selling notes or brokering notes, that they work for the investor that you want to go ahead and sell or broker these to, and then that you have the steps in place to accomplish these. For example, within the Note School mentoring member system, we try to give you every tool you could possibly need to run your business successfully. And we're always constantly tweaking up the vendors that we offer, the services that we are always looking to improve on. And we also look at, as we change what we do, as Colonial does and what Note School does in terms of tweaking our model, our business model, we take those same things and then we give them to you as part of being in our mentorship family. So, for example, with the social media things, we're working with you to show you how to do the meetups, to be more efficient on meetups. Having a web presence, we brought in one of the top web companies where you can sit down and in the course of about an hour to 2 hours, you can actually have a web presence built for yourself so that you can be out there on the internet when people are looking for, you know, people that will buy seller carrybacks or seller finance notes, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we've helped solve that problem for you. This month, March, and then also going into April, we're going to have some very, very well-known names in the real estate investment business, one of them being Walter Wolfer, and they're going to come in and they're going to talk to you about very, very specific topics that are critical to your business and also to your personal financial well-being. So Walter originally was scheduled to be with us this week. Unfortunately, he had a death in the family. We are going to be putting up some new information, some new things that Walter put together for us, and then he's going to cover those on a live call. So I know keep an eye out on the mentoring website because Walter's training material should be there. My understanding is within the next week or so, and then I know he is scheduled, I believe, for the end of the month. Walter, for anybody who doesn't know, is an expert in self-directed investing, entity formation, asset protection, and is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met in the world of real estate, where he can sit down, look at something, and tell you how to structure it, and most importantly, how to structure it so that it's clean, legal, and profitable. He's just an awesome resource. So with the next part of your business, you have to get yourself out there. So one of the things that I do is I make sure that I schedule a monthly calendar where I put appointments on. And the reason being is it gets me out of my office it makes me take my flip-flops off, have to put on shoes, and maybe sometimes shovel, because where I live, it's always snowing. Melissa, are you guys still snowing, or are you guys good? Did you miss the blizzard that we got?
It's not melted yet, right. But it's still there.
All right, so you don't have to have your knee-high bogs on when you go out to get the mail, huh? Perfect.
No, not at all.
All right, so what I do is I schedule monthly meetings for myself because I want to make sure that I get out there and I introduce myself to people. And then also, I want to see what's going on around me, where I'll go to real estate investment meetings. I'll go to Chamber of Commerce meetings. I'll just go out there and network and look for ways to get out and let people know what I do, and then more importantly, see what's going on out in the market. So if you're not taking time for yourself and investing in yourself by scheduling meetings, go ahead and change that. Do that. Make a list of top referral partners and commit to find a way to work with them. I call that the coffee cup. And here's what I mean by that. Some of the most successful business relationships I've ever gotten into started with a cup of coffee. And they just matured over time, where from the initial cup of coffee to the time we actually started doing business together, in some cases it was 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. And what it was a process of getting to know each other's businesses and helping each other identify how we could help each other with their business. So it was about sharing. It wasn't something where we were trying to sell anything to each other. It was just, hey, this is what I do. This is what you do. Is there a fit? And at the end of the day, if the fit means we just enjoy having a cup of coffee once a month or once every 2 months, that's okay. Something will turn out. And one of the most successful coffee cup relationships I ever had was I used to go to a 7 a.m. Wednesday morning meeting at a restaurant with a bunch of note investors. And I sat in that meeting every Wednesday for a year. And all of a sudden, on the, like, whatever it was, 53rd time I'd been there, they go, do you have any deals? And the answer was, yes, I do. And that helped build that relationship. And that's the kind of things where, you know what, go meet, have a cup of coffee, keep working. Don't sit there and tell you know, whale stories about, you know, you how you caught the biggest fish or how you've got access to hundreds of millions of dollars. Be honest. Go, listen, I'm new to the business. Or last year I did 10 no deals, and this year I want to do 15 no deals. Just be honest, and that business, the beauty of the coffee cup, will turn into a profitable relationship with you. In terms of referrals, I know that a lot of the mentoring members and things I like about speaking and getting to know the mentoring members is we have a very, very diverse business background with everybody. But the one common core is everyone I've ever met, they have succeeded in their business and their discipline because they understood how to work referrals. That is one of the most overlooked parts of the business today, because everybody thinks that, you know, you have to be able to just text them or tweet them, or they have to be an approved vendor or this or that. Just talking to people and using the old question, what can I do to help you? So Melissa, I know that you have a very, very interesting business background, and I know one of the things you do now is you are like the chief fix-it person for companies, where you will go in and help them identify specific needs, and then you fix it. And so your whole business model is, what can I do for you? So you are the, right, you're the big Band-Aid box.
Yes.
Yeah, right? I mean, you show up and you've got the right size Band-Aid to go on any kind of boo-boo.
That's right.
All right. That is one of the most important strategies when you meet with people, which is, hey, how can I help you solve a problem? In the note business, remember, when you're speaking to real estate investors, the note business is a wonderful way to help them solve problems because you can create for them a solution for increased cash flow, increased inventory, showing them how to make their business more profitable, where they may be a very, very good fix and flip real estate investor. But everyone knows that the challenge with fix and flip right now is the margins continue to compress. Being able to find a sustainable volume of deals continues to decrease. So what you want to do is you want to maximize profit out of every deal you can do. And I will speak to you as, and, you know, I always use the term of I'm a recovering rehabber or a recovering fix and flipper. You know, I did hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rehabs. And I was always looking for a way to refine my system or create extra revenue streams out of it or find new ways to be able to create more volume. So with the note business, remember, you can show people how to structure, by using paper, how to structure deals and make them more profitable. You can show them that there is hidden inventory in the world of non-performing notes because it's all non-MLS inventory. It doesn't show up where you can go through the MLS or call a realtor and go, hey, get me a listing of expired notes. They can call a realtor and go, hey, get me a listing of expired listings. But they can't call them and go, hey, get me a list of expired notes. It just doesn't happen. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you are out there and talking strategy with people, building rapport with referral partners, scheduling monthly meetings. And if you have a super, super busy life with where, you know what, you think you've got it all dialed in and you can block out 4 meetings a month, but reality is you can only do 2, okay, if that's the best you can do for right now, then just do the 2. When we talk about new opportunities, one of the things that we are always looking at, and this goes for the Colonial Funding side, for the note school side, is we're always looking for new opportunities in the note business. The reason being that this business continues to grow, continues to change every day. You hear Eddie talk about being in the business for 36 years. You hear, you know, Bob Repass, 25 plus years, Kevin Shortbell, you know, myself, etc. You hear us all talk about the business and being in it a long time. And you also always hear us say the same thing, which is never woken up to the same day. So there's always something new popping up. For example, the TFA strategy. That is a strategy that Eddie and I have been working on since it started on Wall Street a little over 5 years ago. The private capital playbook. Eddie started working on that 3 years ago when he realized that to be correctly positioned in the market moving forward, so in 2015, 16, 17, et cetera, you were going to need to know how to talk to cash investors. So that's why he put private capital playbook together. The brokering, we talk about how brokering is becoming a larger part of the business. We're working on finishing up a brokering model for you so that you can have a template, you can have a roadmap so that you will know how to broker. I know Scott, a.k.a. Scooter, Peller was on the call the other day, and Eddie brought Scott in for one specific reason. Scott is an expert in the one-off note business. We believe that the one-off note business is going to be an area that's going to experience a tremendous amount of growth over the next 12, 24, 36, 48 months, and so we brought an expert in. And by having Scott on staff, he will be able to work with you and show you how you can make a profit in the one-off note business. Lastly, your elevator speech. Refine your 30-second, 40-second, 1-minute speech in terms of who you are, what you do, why you do it. I don't know how many people on this call have had to take either public speaking courses or have had to do professional speaking or have had to do professional speaker training as part of their careers, et cetera, et cetera. I still laugh, and I think, Melissa, you've got some experience and expertise. I still laugh where I went through my very first training programs for professional corporate speaking, and you had to be able to tell somebody what you did and why you wanted a meeting with them in 15 seconds.
Yes.
And I just laugh where today that's kind of a lost art. And so being able to constantly just refine your speech, which is, hello, my name is Melissa Newport. I am a note investor. This is what I do. I'd like to get to know you. Boom, boom, boom. Presentations. We are always creating new presentations, new case studies, new content. If there's something where you're on the web, on the mentoring website, and you can't find something that you need for maybe a presentation you're putting together, don't hesitate. Reach out to us. We have Mahmood, I think Craig Peterson, Michael Rogers. We've had a lot of people reach out to us, and we've given them information and some of our slides to help build their presentations so that when they're all speaking to money, we're speaking to investors, they have a systematized presentation. So they have their script, they have their menu, they're ready to go. All right, let me see. We've got hands raised. Let me see. All right, so Keith, Kevin, could not agree more. So yeah, Keith. So Keith over on the east side of the state, over in Michigan. Maniac, how you doing, Keith? And Keith's very, very successful what he does. And let's see. All right. So Keith is saying months of working on relationships. He's got investors that are working with him. He's got people who want to buy deals, and it takes some time. So let's see. Bill had a question. What do you regard as a one-off note? Bill, good question. So a one-off note is simply the process where a seller of a note comes to you, and Bill, let's just say the seller of that note, their name is Melissa. And Melissa says, Bill, my name is Melissa. I saw your website, and I have a seller finance note I want to sell. And when you talk to her, you go, all right, my name's William, and I'm a note investor, blah, blah, blah. Melissa, how many notes do you have? And she's going to go, I have one. All right, well, if you work with her and you end up buying that note from her, that's a one-off deal, and she's out of business. So that part of the business right now is growing at a rate of about 10 to 15% a year. So, all right. And then, so Bill says, I have several one-off notes for sale then. All right. Well, how many one-off notes do you have for sale? What we do is maybe we call it a mini pool. So, anyway. All right. So, what I want everybody to do is, as I say, as we've kind of run through these points in terms of the vision, the process, the meetings, identifying referral partners, I want you to go ahead and grade yourself. And then what I want you to do is I want you to go, am I reaching out and getting the help that I need with some of these by getting on the live calls, by sending questions in the content, by reaching out to the liaison? So am I fully taking advantage of the tools and the resources and the vendors that I have at my fingertips? And I know we joked, I think when we last did this call, we joked and we kind of called it the treadmill, where, you know, everybody at New Year's out and buys a treadmill or piece of exercise equipment and you put it in the living room. And typically by March, you can't find it because you've turned it into a coat hanger or it became one of the kids' science projects. or let your neighbor borrow it, et cetera, et cetera. Remember, in order to be successful, you've got to commit the time to this business. And you also have to make sure that you're using the tools and the materials that we give you. I can't tell you how many emails, how many questions we get a week on, hey, where are these calculators, et cetera, et cetera. We never move the calculators. They're always in the same spot in the membership site. The only thing we do is we continue to add to the kind of to the library of calculators that we do have. So for example, if you want to go ahead and figure out how to price a note out for either a sale where you're just going to buy a note and resell it, the calculators are going to do that. If you want to know how to do a partial where you buy a whole note and you sell a partial, there's a calculator to do that. If you have a situation where you have someone who wants to sell you a note and the best way to do it is just to buy a partial, buy some of the payment stream from that note, there's a calculator in there. For non-performing notes, if you want to know, hey, am I paying too much for this note based on et cetera, or just the quality of it, we've got the calculator, we've got the tools that are in there. We know that because we track this, we know that those aren't being utilized as much as they should be. And have them at your fingertips. They should be just like your computer, your pad, your pen, your calculator, and your big glass of water or your plug-in coffee cup. You've got to have them at your fingertips to be able to use them and constantly reinforce them. One of the things that I always suggest too, and I think it's $9 to $12, get the financial calculator, put it on your desktop. It's by far one of the handiest tools you can have. Plus, when you have questions, it's okay, you can go back. I'm gonna take you there anyway, Melissa. You can go back to the mentoring website. Having that financial calculator, being able to print out amortization schedules and everything is a wonderful tool. I use my financial calculator depending on the day, probably 12 to 50 times. And a lot of times when I am prepping for these calls, I use a financial calculator because I am of the belief that if you don't know where the note started, you don't know what it's supposed to pay out, you don't know what the schedule is supposed to look like, you may not know enough about that note. And it's a real easy way to take 30 seconds and learn more about that note some hours trying to peel through paperwork that may not be accurate. Math doesn't lie. So go ahead and go back to the website. Mentoring website, please. All right. So with non-performing notes, always remember that the combined power quarter is a fabulous tool. The sales price from the NOI calculator, love that one. The finance terms from gross payment. I use that, but I like the NOI calculator just because it's simpler. The partial price versus entire price. So every calculator you need to run your business is right here, and practice with it. Use it. Okay. So Melissa, let's go ahead now. There's no question. Let's go ahead and let's go to Notes Direct.
Okay.
Okay. And I want everybody on the call to answer this question. You don't have to answer it out loud. Is everybody on this call getting on Notes Direct frequently enough to be honing and sharpening your note buying skills? Remember, we developed Notes Direct so that you could have a more efficient way to purchase notes. With Notes Direct, one of the things that I love about it for our mentoring students is it gives us a very, very good way to go ahead and log in and we'll just go into the non-performing side. It gives us a way to work with you on live calls and see exactly what you're seeing, because we know what collateral you're looking at. We know what pay histories you're looking at. We know who owns the note. We know what the BPOs look like. And so I'm always going to tell you, if you're not getting on notes direct and practicing, go ahead and block out time. And if it means a half hour a week, perfect, do that, because you've got to stay sharp. You've got to stay fresh. Sometimes people go, well, I don't have enough capital to buy the notes I want. That's the beautiful part about Notes Direct. We are continuing to refine how we put assets on the site, and we also make sure that we are trying to cover every possible price point. And, for example, right now with the non-performing assets that are for sale, I think there's almost 100 of them today, and I know that'll change again because we've committed to rolling the inventory as frequently as possible. I know in terms of price point, just hit all, go ahead and hit search and pop it up, you're fine. There's price points from $4,000 to I think $123,000 or $138,000. I work in Notes Direct every day. The reason that I work in Notes Direct every day is on a kind of a corporate level on the Colonial side, they've got me things doing in there. And then also on the Note School side, I answer a lot of questions for students on notes, and then we use a lot of the notes teaching tools in our live calls. One of the things that I do is I track kind of the aging of some of the notes that people put on call and see if they ever buy them, or if they brought on a call, closed on it within, you know, a week or 2 weeks, whatever. And what's interesting is right now, as we go through the non-performing notes that are on the site, I can identify some notes that were brought on to live calls where students had looked at them and they thought it may be a good note to fit their business model. We talked about it, and then nothing ever happened. Please remember, one of the things we're looking for is feedback. If you have a situation where you've done your due diligence and then you want to bring an asset, whether it be performing or non-performing, you want to bring that on a call to help clarify some things, and help you get to a point where you're able to make a decision that the asset is a good buy for you or not a good buy for you. Always remember, we're also looking for feedback where if you decide to pass on an asset, go ahead and let us know why. Because we're constantly working our inventory and tailoring it because we're trying to increase the amount of notes that we have under management in the fund. And as part of that, we want to make sure that we are creating inventory that people want to buy. You as our students are some of our most valuable clients because we have a vested interest to help you be successful, and you're the closest people to these assets. So if there's an asset that was run, so for example, there was an asset running out of Cleveland, Ohio. There was a Cleveland, Ohio asset that we looked at about 7 weeks ago. We had somebody hit the buy button, and then they didn't purchase it. But then they never told us why they didn't buy it. What I want you to look at is if you're looking at something, you're doing your due diligence, and you're bringing it on the call, and then you don't buy it for whatever reason, reach out to us. That's part of the process. That's part of the reason we're here, because until you've got a large number of notes under your belt, every deal is going to be a little scary, and that's okay. You know, it's going to be a little challenging. It's exciting. I mean, to this day, I'm 20 plus years into buying notes. Every time I buy a note, it's still like going to the car lot and getting a new car. It's exciting. You know, it's just that's part of the business. And so, for example, with this particular asset in Cleveland, this was put up because one of the students had some questions on it in terms of what are my strategies? What are the worst case things? You know, what could happen? And if the borrower, if I have to take it to foreclosure, what do I end up with? And we really walked through this and we drilled it down. So what I want to take a look at is, I want to look at this particular asset. It's a two unit. Each side it's a 3-1. And to have a two unit rental or a two unit where it's an owner occupied and then one side rental out, to be able to buy that at a super deep discount because it's a non performing note, there's an increased level of profit potential. The other thing is when you look at this, you go, all right, if I could buy this note for, you know, $12,500. What is the unpaid principal balance? The unpaid principal balance is almost $35,000. We always teach you to look at the discount. So if I'm buying this note for $12,000 and the borrower all of a sudden says, hey, I want to pay you off, how much are you going to have to pay off? You're going to have to pay off about three times what you paid for the note. That's a fairly good ratio in terms of price to discount. Always be looking at, here's the price I can buy the note for, here's what's there in terms of the unpaid principal balance, and there's part of my value play. The other thing is, by looking at the price of the note and looking at what the unpaid principal balance is, that helps you also evaluate strategies where the asset may be located in a hardest hit fund state. So, for example, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, to name a few of the states, where you can go in and we keep the list updated. Kevin Shortell updates the list quite frequently to let you know how much money is available to homeowners through the HHF programs. So, for example, some states right now, it's $25,000. Other states, it's $30,000. Other states, it's $100,000. But we know with this particular asset, if Ohio has programs that allow up to, say, $35,000, you potentially could do a loan mod and recoup up to $35,000. You know, and the reason I'm using that number is what you've got to do is you've got to look at, you know, when the last payment was made, and, you know, are the back due taxes, et cetera. But by looking at what you can pay for the note, by looking at what the unpaid principal balance is, that lets you know if the hardest hit funds is going to help you recoup 100% of your investment all in one shot. We show you the case studies where some of our students have bought solely in hardest hit fund states, and their whole model is to buy notes, buy low, you know, low price notes. And then they're going to mod them out. And the reason they mod them out is because they know they can go ahead and do a loan mod, do a principal forgiveness or do a payment forbearance, et cetera. And not only will they get what they paid for the note back right away, but they'll also get a substantial amount of profit right away and can still be left with a note, a performing note that they then can resell. So they're creating two, three, four revenue streams off a single non-performing note. So, all right. Let's see. Okay. Keith, yeah, what we'll do is we'll open up. So, Melissa, please make sure that I leave some time for some questions here. And go from there.
Okay.
And then, let's see, yeah. Thank you for answering that. Remember, on Notes Direct, with the contact us, you can, that's available 24 hours. 7 days a week, and go ahead and answer that. So, anyway, we'll kind of keep rolling through, and then I'll open up for some questions. So with this note, what we're looking at is we look at the price, look at the discount, we look at the value, we look at the fact that this is in a hard hit fund state. We know there's money available to help. If not, we then start looking, all right, what are my options if I want to do a deed in lieu or I want to do closure or cash for keys, what am I going to be left with? There, what you're doing is you're starting to look at what is the value of the collateral. One of the reasons that we put the turnkey model together for you is we wanted you to be able to have it in one spot, the same system that the hedge funds, that all the big Wall Street guys use, where they bought properties at super, super deep discounts that only had a cash value. So unless you were able to write a check, you couldn't buy them. And they bought them because they knew the real value was based on the cash flow. And so we put the turnkey model together to show you how the big guys get it, and then give you the same resources. And the most important part of that is the financial model, which is the NOI calculator, where you go, all right, what is this property worth today? So if you look at the BPO on this property, the BPO on this, and I don't even remember, we can take a peek at it. The BPO on this may only be $45,000. Go ahead, take it. And I know we looked at this a couple months ago.
It's trying. There it is.
It is trying. What the heck? I'm on hotel Wi-Fi. I think I might have opened up faster. All right. So when we look at this, and Melissa may have to just put a little magnifier on here, what were they saying? All right. So they were saying that this property was worth $22,000. Now, I know that everybody on this call understand that this property is not worth $22,000 on a quick sale. What the BPO agent was basically saying was, listen, if there was a cash discount real estate investor driving up and down, so basically a local landlord, you know, he may try to offer you $22,000. Why? Because he's going to try to get it at the deepest, deepest, deepest discount possible. Now, that being said, if you could buy this note and turn around and sell it a week later to a guy for $22,000, did that work? Sure it did. It worked great. But did you leave money on the table? You may have. So that's why we teach you how to use the NOI, use the net operating income, to figure out what this property really is worth as a limited rental. Because, again, this is a duplex. So even though I have one roof, I have two paying tenants, one on the side of the property. I'm getting double the income. And so with this one, too, what I want to do is, Melissa, did I send you a range report on this one?
Yep.
All right. All right, so I ran this rent range report. Remember, we have the rent tax credit. We put together a special vendor relationship for you guys, which I use every day as well. And then I also use Rent-A-Meter, just because I do this so much. I like to have kind of my primary source and my secondary source. And so I use RentFacts Pro, but there's times where, you know, it's just faster to throw in a Rent-A-Meter. So I ran this Rent-A-Meter this afternoon. And why I did that was I wanted to see what Rent-A-Meter, who analyzed tens of thousands of rental properties a month, what they were saying the market looks like. And they're telling me that for a three-bedroom rental within about a mile and a quarter of this property, median rents are going to be about $800. That means this property has the potential to pull in gross rent in the neighborhood of $1,600. Maybe $1,700, maybe $1,800 total, which is a phenomenal number. When I do my NOI, when I look at my net operating income, it's double it. So we'll run the calculator on there. But also, too, with the Rent-A-Meter report, remember, it's telling you where the property is, and then where the other rental properties in the market relative to this property, and what kind of rent they're going. And then what I also love about this is, what does this show us? It shows us that this is by the Metro Park Zoo. It's by a hospital. It's in an area that is a very, very strong urban area, and it also lets us know that it's an area that's appreciated. All right, so you can go ahead and close that out. So, please. Yep, Bill, I hear the auto echo too. I don't know what that is. Wow, tape delay auto echo. Let's see if I can find that. All right. Okay, and let's see. So, Bill, you're under the impression these are two bedroom. I think the BPO gave it six and two. Six bedrooms, two baths. Also, can you scroll up, just double check that for me?
Yeah, 6-2.
6-2, okay. And Bill, sometimes you may see conflicting data, and if you do, what you do is go to the assessor's site and see if they say something different. And, all right, so suppose they're two bedroom, no big deal. What I do is I run in and I run rent. I just go in and I run rent as a two bedroom and see what the difference is. Because we got a little bit of time, let's do it. And Bill, I am an optimistic pessimist, so I always assume that the information I get is correct. I double check it, and then I also, when I see numbers, I a lot of times may look at median and I may discount it a little bit, just to not create a sense of euphoria. All right, so that is 3870. Was it West 19th?
Yes. West 37th Street.
Got it. Hold on. West 37th Street, Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. And let me run it just for the heck of it. Run it as twos, run it as a house. Sorry, guys, my phone got excited and tried to run away from me. All right. If for some reason it checked out, you were two bedroom units. My rent 7.
Kevin, we can't hear you.
Can you guys hear me? Guys hear me?
Yeah, better.
Sorry, that my phone for some reason got excited. Bill, as I was saying, with this particular asset, the difference is about $35 a month aside. So instead of 800, it's 765. So your impact on your NOI is not significant. So, all right. The other thing is when you look at these BPOs, always look for the little nuggets that you can either confirm or deny by doing a little bit of due diligence on a little deeper dive. Where, remember, they're saying that this property is worth $22,000 cash sale, but then they said home sales are improving. It's an improving market, and the rate of appreciation is about a quarter of a percent a month. So houses are going to appreciate about 6% that year, this year. So, again, this is one where this is what you're looking for. You're looking for, all right, is there an asset sitting here where there really is a good deal and everybody keeps passing over it? And you know what? Let me bring that asset on a call. Let me go ahead and hear from the guys that buy thousands and thousands of assets a year. Let me hear from them if it's an asset that is right for my investment portfolio. Or you can go ahead and close that BPO off. Let's go ahead and let's pop up the NOI calculator on this. Please. All right. So let's assume that the rent on this This is $750 a unit, so let's put $1,500. We'll go cautiously optimistic. Taxes, $150. Insurance, $50. Management fee, go with 10% on this one just because it's two. Go $150. All right, so let's go ahead and now go, all right, can I sell this on NOI? Well, the answer is yes, you could if you were trying to sell it retail. You're not. What this does is this shows you what kind of free cash flow you could be showing to somebody. So monthly NOI, so income available for debt service, is $1,100 a month. So let's just figure it's $1,000 a month. What I want to do, Melissa, is I'm going to have you manipulate the calculator here for me a little bit. What I want to do is look to rent and put rent in it at what we do, $750.
Yeah.
Or just put it at $750. Leave all the numbers the same. Okay. The reason I did that is having both rents in there. It skews the way we built this calculator for you. This property, go ahead, put in a 12%. No, that's all right. Put an 8% in where the 10 is. This property is a rental to a cash flow investor at a very, very conservative cap rate. It is going to sell for $60,000 or $68,000 or maybe more. What I would be curious right now is I would go in and I would see what similar duplexes are selling for in this market. Because my guess is they're probably selling for somewhere between $80,000 and $90,000 because of the cash flow is so strong. So again, this is where somebody put this asset up there. We showed them the math, we drove the Google car, we went through the paperwork, we know it's a hardest hit fund state, we know there's pride of ownership in it because somebody has replaced the guard, you know, the handrails, and there's always flowers on the porch, et cetera, et cetera. So there's something to this. And again, this is one where it won't hurt you to practice, and it won't hurt you to do the math on this, and it won't hurt your business model to bring it on a call and go, okay, what am I missing? Because there's always a good deal on Notes Direct, and there's always a deal. I've never been involved in any business where there always wasn't a good deal staring right in the face. A lot of times I would walk by it. But eventually, it punched me in the nose, and I'd see it there. So, all right, Melissa, we go ahead and close that out. All right, let's scroll down. I want to check one other thing out on this one. Let's check out what our taxes were. Let's see if we can look at the tax report. To bring this asset on a call and go, guys, I've done the rent-o-meter. I've verified taxes. You know, I've driven the Google car. I had somebody do a drive-by for me for, you know, $50, $75, $100. Let's see. Okay. All right. So we're showing that there's some taxes due that say almost $7,800. Where you go, okay, I've done all this work, and I'm looking at this tax bill, and I can't tell how much is really owed. I'm going to guarantee you that Charles Magnin can answer the tax question in about 2 minutes. Because we bought this asset, we own this asset, we would not have let delinquent taxes from 11, 12, 13, 14 be sitting out there. So this is one where if you're going, okay, I'm going to kill this deal because I didn't take the extra step, which was to find out what was really owed on the property taxes, you may have just walked past a good deal or a great deal. The other thing is if you plug in how much these taxes are, let's just say taxes on this are $5,000. If I go $5,000 for taxes, $12,000 to pick the note up, maybe a couple thousand for whatever, and I'm into this thing for a total of say $25,000 or $26,000, is it still a strong asset? Absolutely, because when you look at cash flow, it shows you what it's worth. Could you sell this to an owner-occupant, or it's a new seller financing where they live on one side and they rent the other side out? Sure. Do you want to do that if it makes more sense for your model and it makes more money? So again, the questions that we're walking through, the things we're looking at here, these are all questions that you can be applying to every asset that you're looking at. Tuesday, we were running a New York asset, and one of the questions on the board from one of our students was, are there a lot of states that have mortgage assistance programs that are not hardest hit fund states? The answer is yes. New York, Pennsylvania, that we kind of rattled off. We put together like four or five just while we were on the call. So remember, as you're practicing, looking at assets, have your business tools handy. Have your list of the hardest hit fund states up. Have mortgage assistance program, or you know, Google mortgage assistance program, Iowa or something. So if they're not on the map, that doesn't mean they don't have a program. Use your math and then bring these assets to the call. Bring your business questions to the call. We're here to help you. We want you to succeed. We started the call today with, you know what, we're a quarter of the way through. We wanna help you. If you haven't done anything in the first few months, then let's go ahead and while we're halfway through April, unless somebody hits the $1 billion bracket challenge. So, and I think most, what are the odds of hitting the bracket, picking it perfect? Isn't it like 22 billion to one or some silly number? I know somebody on the call will know that answer because I know we've got bracketologists. Yeah. I am not a bracketologist. On ESPN, they show the one where the chicken picks them. That's the guy I go with. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So, Dwayne saying taxes are over 12. The answer is, verify with Charles in the office. And Dwayne, if you had looked at this asset and those numbers are 12, I'd still double check with Charles. And then also plug him in and see if it's a deal killer, or bring it on the call and go, you know what? I want to know if these taxes are a deal killer, because we'll be very honest. We'll tell you if they are. Okay. Let's see. Brian saying, what about vacancy rate? In fact, school's vacancy factor, no school calculator omits vacancy, is one way better than the other. So Brian has a question. I was trying to paraphrase because I know Keith's got a question. Brian is asking about vacancy factor. So Brian, I will tell you that in my professional life, as someone who has been doing 1 to 4 unit rentals for 20 plus years, I've never found a perfect vacancy factor model. And I could tell you to use 5%. I could tell you to use 10%. I could tell you to use 0%. At the end of the day, the reason that we have used the rent facts pro forma, the reason we have used Rent-A-Meter, et cetera, is we want you to work in areas where the vacancy factors are better than the national average. So, for example, right now in a lot of markets, the rental vacancies is running at about 2%. There's a couple other markets where it's about 8%. But here's what I can tell you: we're on a five-year trend that we don't see slowing down, where the vacancy numbers are the lowest, or vacancy rates are the lowest they've been in 50 plus years. And for everybody who watches to see if the Fed raises rates, et cetera, the Fed raised the rates again. What that did is it just made it more expensive for people to get mortgages. It also made it more expensive to have credit cards, get auto financing, et cetera, et cetera. If I'm renting a house and everything that that I need to be cheaper so I can buy a house, just got more expensive, am I going to more likely to stay a renter? And what I mean by that is, if I'm qualified to buy a house at a certain mortgage amount, and that payment just increased, that means how much money I can borrow just went down. And car rates are going up. Instead of my average car payment being $450 and it goes to $500, that may keep me from qualifying for a mortgage or a pay for a house, because I like the house better. It's actually a nicer property. So we'll go from there. Where are we with that? The beginning or up? Oh, so Lisa wants to know a 5-year trend. Lisa, I'm always a forward-looking guy. I'm not a backward-looking guy. So starting in about 2012, we saw where vacancy trends had kind of bottomed out and were shrinking. And right now, given the economic factors that we see that vacancy factors are going to continue to get lower over the next 12, 24, 36, 48 months, because there's nothing in the economy that's telling us that it's going to be cheaper for consumers to live. So I'm giving you an optimistic trend where it's like, Yahoo is an investor, I want to take advantage of that. So, and Lisa, part of that too, that's why there was so much buildup on the apartment space, where these guys went out trying to build all these big apartments. So let's see, how do you verify unpaid? So Bill's got a question, how do you verify unpaid principal balance? Example, you folks showed the unpaid principal balance on a note that we purchased to be $35K. It turned out that the unpaid principal balance was only $28K. Bill, without knowing the note and knowing what math we're using, I can't tell. I also don't know if this is a situation, I'm assuming this was a non-performing note. What we always tell you is trust and verify. One of the reasons that I love my financial calculator that's on my computer is I can put the start date of the loan in it, the end date, and then I can see exactly where that loan balance should be based on one assumption, that they paid on time for X number of years. Also, what's real handy with that calculator is I can go back and rebuild principal balance, because I can look at loan modifications, et cetera, and go, okay, when they modified this loan in, say, 2013, here's what the principal balance was. I can then go in and adjust the amortization schedule based on that. And then also, as part of your due diligence, always verify with the seller what the unpaid principal balance is, because the servicers will have that. And then lastly, there's times, guys, where principal balance may be lower in some cases because one servicer didn't agree with another servicer on how it was calculated. Okay. All right. Okay, Keith, I think, had one question, and then we'll get out of here. So if we can go back up or just unmute Keith if he's still on.
Keith, can you hear us?
Did we lose him?
Keith, I unmuted you. Oh. He's trying.
He's trying? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
Keith, go ahead. I'll tell you what. Send me an email offline, and I'll get you pointed in the right direction.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
There you are. Just speak louder.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Keith.
There you are.
Speakers, headphones.
Go.
You there?
We can hear you. Can you type in, Melissa, that we can hear him and just talk, please? I don't know if I can do that. He's getting that same delay I had. Shout it out, Keith.
We might not make it.
All right. Keith, do me a favor. Just go ahead and send me an email. Just send it to kevin@nodeschool, and I'll get you pointed in the right direction. So, Melissa, what do we have for our lovely contestants tonight in the way of parting gifts, announcements, etc.?
We are just reminding everybody that Walter will be on April 3rd and 4th talking fabulous. About land trusts. Our upcoming 3-day classes.
Wonderful.
The one you're at right now starts that's tomorrow. Right.
Yes, it
and
is.
And then
yes.
St. Louis, Tampa, and Raleigh.
Perfect.
And I can't believe perfect. It'll be time for Summer Summit, June 2nd yes. and 3rd.
Summer is going to be upon us quickly. So, all right. Melissa, thank you. Larry, thank you so much to everybody on the call who contributed questions, et cetera. Thank you. Remember, we're here to help you, and we wanted to do kind of a business plan tune-up and then walk you through Notes Direct because it really is important that you get in there and just keep looking at assets and keep, you know, honing your skills, because what's going to happen is you're going to have a cup of coffee with somebody and they're going to go, hey, do you have a deal? Well, your answer is going to be yes, because I've been working on it, I've been on the live calls, and I've been using my calculators, and I know what's in inventory. So, all right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay,
good
night.
Thanks, Melissa.
You bet.